See the water stirred, see families excited about serving God. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 1. Not 1 John, John chapter 1, sorry. And we'll be looking at Nathanael tonight. John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter number 1. Hope you've had a good week in the Lord. And we'll be in verse 45. All right. John chapter 1, verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let's read one more verse real quick, and we'll reference it here in a moment as we get going. It's over in John chapter 21. John chapter 21 and verse number 2. Kind of gives us a little bit more background on Nathanael and where he was from. John chapter 21. And verse number 2. John chapter number 21, verse 2. And the Bible says there together Simon, Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. So we notice that he is from Cana, and he's there in the area of Galilee. Jesus had performed a miracle there. At what event? Does anybody know what event Jesus did? What kind of event was it? Anybody? A wedding. Jesus had done the first miracle there. It was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Now, Nathanael's name means God has given. God has given. Now, perhaps his parents had named him Nathanael, and recognizing that their son was a gift of God. In many instances throughout the Old Testament, you'll find that the names bear record to something very significant of the person, something that happened there in their life. And so Nathanael was there. It was God has given. But we notice something kind of unique to Nathanael. He's also known as Bartholomew. Bartholomew throughout the other scriptures, and we'll look there and see. Nathanael is only mentioned by him here in the book of John, as we read there in John chapter number 21 and verses 2. But if you go over to Matthew, when we look at the other accounts, Matthew chapter number 10 and verse 3, Matthew 10, 3, you'll notice there's the scriptures label, it lists all of the apostles. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 3, Philip and Bartholomew. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James, son of Alphaeus and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus. Now you'll notice a common denominator in all of these here verses as we look. First you saw John 21, 2 was Nathaniel, Philip and Nathaniel as it was listed, and now it is Bartholomew and Philip. Look over at Mark chapter 3, Mark chapter number 3 and verse 18. Mark chapter 3 and verse number 18. Again, you see Mark, as he lists the scriptures, it says here, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite. Then look over in Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6. And you'll see again listed there. And of course, John mentioned him as Nathanael. Luke chapter number 6 and verse 14. The scripture says in Luke 6 and 14, Simon, whom he is also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James, John, Philip, and Bartholomew. Now each reference links Philip with Bartholomew, and so except over there in John, there's no mention of Nathanael. So through the conclusion of searching out and ferreting the scriptures, I come to believe that it is the same in one and not a different person altogether. We know there's 12 disciples and each instance was there. Of course, Jesus offered some surnames to others as well. Peter, Caiaphas, and then James and John was known as what? Who remembers their little surname, their little pet names, I guess you say, sons of what? Thunder. So here we see it again, and then if you looked up Bartholomew and saw the name of Bartholomew, Bartholomew is by deduction of Bar is son in Hebrew, and then Bartholomew is the son of Ptolemy. If you go back over into 2 Samuel 3, you'll notice there is a grandfather there. In 2 Samuel chapter number 3. In 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 3. And the scripture says here, and his second Chalab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal of Carmelites, Naaman the descendants of David, and the third Absalom, the son of Micah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Gezor. Now some believe that this here is a direct descendant of this here particular king, which would also make him a descendant of King David. Whether that's to be so or not, I'm not sure. I'm not this is not ancestry.com. So I haven't done a DNA test on Bartholomew and Talmai, but just following the scripture, seeing it there, it's a possibility. It is a possibility that it was there, that he is a descendant of the king mentioned there in 2 Samuel 3:3. But nonetheless, we do see that he's known by two different names, Nathanael and John, and Bartholomew in the other books of the Bible. Now, Nathanael, we'll call him by Nathanael because that's where we started at. I may mix up Bartholomew here and there, but as we look at his character, if you'll go back over in John chapter number 1, he was a very knowledgeable man, very knowledgeable of Scripture and things that was going on in Scripture. In John chapter number 1 and in verse 45, you'll notice something here, John chapter 1, verse 45. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets have write, and Jesus of Nazareth, the sons of Joseph. So Philip is talking to him about Old Testament scripture, about the prophets. And so Nathanael, being knowledgeable of the same thing, he says in verse 46, Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Now, Nathanael was very aware of the Old Testament writings, the Old Testament scriptures. Matter of fact, many of the Jews had an argument of sorts. If you would, look over in John chapter 7 for a moment. John chapter 7 and verse number 40, that was well aware that the Messiah would be born where? In what city? Bethlehem. We find that in Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. So they were aware of the scriptures there. And so you see here is an argument over in John chapter 7 and verse number 40. John chapter 7 and verse number 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this thing, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." So they thought, okay, there's something different about this man, Jesus. So he was a prophet. Verse 41, others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" So there was division among the people because of him. So Nathanael had a good reasonable argument, because it was well known that the Messiah would come out of Bethlehem. And Micah 5:2, if you want to search that out and ferret the scriptures later on your own, you can see that. Nathanael had a good question here. Not everybody that has a biblical question that we don't understand is actually attacking us, by the way. Sometimes just got questions. We got to be ready for them. Sometimes we get on the defensive too quick. Sometimes, you know, especially this, I found out, if I don't know the answer, I have to guard myself from getting on defensive. Because, you know, you're the pastor of Lock Haven Baptist Church and have this question and you don't know the answer like right now? Well, sorry, I don't. Ask my kids. I got 8 of them, and sometimes I don't even know their names. I need Benji, and I'm calling Josh. Josh lives in Missouri and hasn't been in my house. Got 2 kids of his own. I hate to say this. The other day, I was calling for Skyler. No, I was calling for Logan. Logan was crawling around through the house. Boy, he was exploring every Christmas item we had. He was going at it. And he was looking here, looking there. And as I called for him, I could, "Hey, Raylan, Colton, Scotty, Logan, you can't do that." And here come Briley in there and say, reminds me, "Dad, that ain't Raylan, that ain't Colton, that's Logan." So I have to guard myself, Brother Robert. I have to say, you know, somebody comes and approaches me, I have to say, remain humble. I'm not the sum of all wisdom. And I promise you this, if I was to die tonight when I lay my head down on my bed, I'd wake my eyes up in heaven and I'd look my good Lord in the face, all wisdom wouldn't go with me. Matter of fact, I don't think a thimbleful of wisdom would follow me on out of this world. So we have to be careful that when people do approach us with a question, that we don't allow it to become into an argument. You know, if you don't know, simply be honest. Don't make up some. Don't grab stuff out of the sky. I mean, just like Nathanael. I mean, Philip did not want to argue with him. He just wanted him to experience Christ for himself. Now, I'm going to tell you, dear friend, when somebody experiences Christ for themselves, they will be convinced by the power of God. And so he said, "Look, come see for yourself." It was a good question. So he's knowledgeable, and we understand that he is very honest. How do you get that? Because Jesus himself said there in verse 47, "You're a man without guile." How did Jesus put it there? He said there. Then that's chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1 of John. John chapter 1 and verse number 47. Jesus said, "Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Or he was honest, he was without deceit, and he was kind of a straightforward kind of guy. You know, he just spoke his mind when Jesus called out and said, "Hey, you're a man without guile." I mean, you present yourself as you really are. That's a good character trait, isn't it? That people look at you, you're knowledgeable, and you're not knowledgeable enough that you present yourself beyond your education or beyond your wisdom. You stay kind of level, stay kind of focused there, I kind of wonder and ask myself this question: why would, of course, Jesus is God, but, you know, I'm asking myself, how could he come to such a deduction? I mean, when you meet somebody for the very first time, of course, he knew him because he saw him sitting by the tree and knew him from in his mother's womb. So Jesus got a little bit of head start on us. But when I meet somebody for the first time, you know, there's that first what? Impression. And it says a lot, doesn't it? It says a whole lot. And usually it sticks with us. I mean, it's like pops out like a light bulb on us. And that's, and unless we stop and pause, and we sometimes even have to hit the reset button. Man, I thought much of them that really wasn't true. And so Jesus, so I asked him, how did he come to this conclusion? And I believe it's because that Jesus saw that he trusted a Messiah and not the law. If you would, go back over there in John chapter 1. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou? Verse 48. And Jesus answered, said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Verse 49. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said to him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Now here's the normal character of a Jewish person, if you would, over in Romans chapter 10. This is how most of them looked at it, Romans chapter number 10. They looked at life and looked at everything about what was going on around them. This is the way they saw things in Romans chapter 10. Paul points it out in verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe. That's the normal characteristics of a normal Jewish person in that day and age. And when Jesus approached him and said, I know thee because I saw thee sitting by the fig tree, he believed the Messiah. That's kind of what we have to do, right? We have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior. And he believed all the knowledge and all the wisdom and all the understanding. Remember what he said? Remember the question? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus dispelled that, didn't he? He said, I saw them. You're a man without God. How do you know me? And he began to show himself as God. Look with me over in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter number 3. And let's start around, I don't know, 19 maybe. Galatians chapter 3 and number 19. Verse number 19. Galatians chapter 3 maybe. And verse 19. Yeah, let's start there. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19. We'll read down to verse 24. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Verse 21. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scriptures have concluded all under sin, and the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Back up to Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. The Bible says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's not bad to ask questions. When somebody approaches you with those questions, begin to look at you and begin to present themselves like that, listen, be honest with them. If you know the answer, show them Scripture. Take the Bible, open it up and say, look, this is what the Bible says. Listen, many people, even Christians, even sometimes we as Christians, we make the same mistakes today, with unsaved people. Sometimes they think they can be good enough. They think that if they just was just the right amount of good. But there's none good. No, not one. What would be the right amount of good? The same way with sin. Well, you're going to lose your salvation if you sin. How much? A day's worth? 2 days' worth? Is it 14 days' worth? Because you know we're humans, brother. You know what I do? If I've had a scripture that said I could live like the devil for 14 days, and on that 15th day I lose my salvation, what do I do, brother? Come the 12th day at midnight, fall on my face before the Lord, say, Lord, let's start this 14-day trip over again. Because we're human. That's why I said watch and pray. For no man knoweth the hour. That means walk circumspectly. Walk like you're saved. Act like you're saved. Live like you're saved. Because why? The God of heaven lives inside of you. And so but be very careful. You know that even lost people recognize right and wrong. It's getting harder and harder nowadays. But even lost people understand a lie is a lie. They don't understand, you know, you're not supposed to steal. You should treat others as you want to be treated. Y'all heard that before. We understand some of these things. And so it's no wonder that some folks may come up and say, well, you know, I'm a pretty good person, Brother David. I go to Christmas time, I show up around church, hear the choir sing. I'm all right. I'm a good LSU fan. Sure enough, everybody in heaven's got to be an LSU fan. So they lay it out there why they should, why they shouldn't. And you got to be decent and honest and upright and gentle and kind like our Lord was to us. You got to listen. Even after we're saved, dear friend, we need God's grace to live for Him. We need it. It's a hard place in this world. And let me tell you something sometimes, dear friend. It's easy to allow this world to rub you the wrong way. I'm telling you today, when I was at the post office, there's a lady up in there, dear friend. Whew. Wow. I thought she was a cross between an alligator and a chainsaw. And all I was doing was turning in some things to be mailed out to folks that might come to the Katata, perhaps read the back and get saved. I was thinking to myself, Lord, lady, listen, I'd rather have heartburn 6 weeks in a row than to deal with you another hour. We need God's grace. Listen, dear friend, as much as I needed God's grace to get saved because I didn't deserve it, I depend upon God's grace for sanctification as much as I do for salvation. We need God's grace. Man, Philip said, listen, I'm not going to argue with you, Nathaniel. Come and see. Come and experience Christ for yourself. Man, when he got there, what an experience. Listen, we cannot be afraid to get in the middle of a messy biblical conversation. Because there are some folks that have no idea where 1 John is. Much less what justification means. We can't get all bothered like when people want to question our biblical truths after what they've sat in for 12 years of public school system teaching. And far as that goes, Christian school teaching too. We can't, when they come up with these questions, you know, why does God let bad things happen? That's a tough question to answer, isn't it? We know God didn't let bad things happen. Listen, God doesn't want any person to drink and to get drunk and to get in a car and start that car and ride down the road and run into somebody and kill somebody. God don't want that. That's a result of sin. That's a result of a choice that people make. That's the natural consequence of what sin does. It has nothing to do with what God wanted. But I do know this, that God will take that same messy situation, pour His grace all out on us, and on that family, on the victims, even the family of the one. Because listen, if one of my kids did it, if they was to get in a car wreck and kill someone because they had been drinking and killed somebody, dear friend, I would hate it to no end. Words could not approach another family and tell them how sorry I was. It would not. There's nothing I could say to give them any understanding outside of the grace of God. But the grace of God could work in that situation. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Anything at all? Philip said, come and see. Nathanael came and he saw, dear friend, and he approached the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus said to him, simply because you believed. You remember those stories in the Old Testament with Nathan, the general, the great general, had leprosy. What was his name? Naaman. There he goes, Naaman. Nathanael's got me messed up here. Naaman. He could have been done with leprosy a good couple, 3 hours earlier if he just did what the prophet said. Could have. Said, you know, go down there in the River Jordan and dip yourself 7 times. You'll be okay. What? I rode down here for all that? I'm gone. I'm out of here. And one of his servants said, sir, if he had told you to do something great, you would have done it. Come to his senses, didn't he? One got clean. Listen, Nathanael came and Jesus said to Nathanael, because you simply believed, you'll see greater things. You know, the historians say, as you read through the historians of Ephesus, Pamphilus, and I don't know if that's how I said his name, because I like I told you, I can't even remember Josh and Clay and Benji and Drew. So, but he's a Greek theologian. He wrote that whenever they arrived over in India, they had already heard of this great preacher called Bartholomew. That came through there. He saw greater things. You know, the Bible teaches us there's a great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews chapter 12 that looks over what's going on right now. Listen, he simply believed, and Jesus said, you're going to see much greater. Listen, believe. God is capable and able. He is well able to work through your situation. And when people bring these questions, stop, listen. And if you don't know the answer, get to the Scripture and get into the Word of God and let Jesus and the Holy Ghost of God teach you and give you the knowledge you need through study, that you may present the answers to those folks. And look at how things turned out for Nathanael. Very knowledgeable man of Scripture, but had good, honest questions. There was another man. Oh, I better stop because my mind's wandering now. What's his name? Forget it. He was out preaching. Apollos. And he going about his business, and man, some of them guys said, ooh, he's messed up on that. They took him aside and taught Apollos, and Apollos became a great preacher of the Word of God. You remember the disciples was there gathered around Jesus, and they said, Jesus, hey, that guy's not with us, and he's out there doing things that he has no business. Jesus looked at him and said, hey, if he's not against us, he's for us. Be careful. Be careful. When people have questions, don't run them off. Be open, honest. Be an epistle read of all men, and allow God to teach you so you can teach others and become a great follower of Jesus like Nathanael. Knowledgeable, humble, but obedient. All right, let's, Brother Eric. Your family, come on down. Let's do this here real quick before we go. Brother Eric, the little girls told me, our name is the Floyd Five. Brother Eric and Sister Faith Floyd and their little girls are coming tonight. They want to present themselves for membership of the church, and I'd like to recommend the church that we accept them to our fellowship. If I have a motion to do so. Brother Scott Venters and Brother Dave Marcella, all in favor? Any opposed? Will y'all please come down right after this and give them the right hand of fellowship and welcome them into our church family? And let's help bring them along and get them closer so one day that they can be walking other people in these doors that they've invited. Good to have y'all join us. Well, Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this night. We ask you, God, to bless our church as we continue to reach out into our community and our neighborhoods and the families that are around us that we are exposed to. God, help us to be Christ-like. Help us to be God-honoring. Help us, Lord, to be gentle. There's none of us perfect. Many of us have rough, rough edges. But God, keep sanding on us. Keep chiseling away. And Lord, conform us into the image of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all stay right here, Brother Eric. They're going to come right by.